Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we continue our conversation in this program today that has been semi all over because of the release of Eddie Conway, and we appreciate all of you being patient as our guests have been patient with us as well. We've been looking forward to having the folks on from the Maryland Disability Law Center to talk about bills they're battling for in the state legislature. Kathy Sorace is with us, who is managing attorney at the Maryland Disability Law Center, and Sarah Ryan, who's attorney at the Maryland Disability Law Center. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
410-319-8888 is the number here. There's a number of bills, and so these are kind of they're really important bills, things I was not aware of until we started talking with Virginia Nolden about stuff you were battling around. And so you are working on this bill. Explain this to us, and what this bill is around Medicaid and allowing a certain group of people in Maryland, about 4,000 people, to have in-home care. What is this?
Well, this is a bill that we see as a civil rights bill for people with disabilities, because the Maryland Medicaid program does not cover the nursing services that some people, the people with the more severe disabilities, may need to live at home with their families or to leave nursing facilities and come back home. It covers it under a special program called the Rare and Expensive Case Management Program that up until this point has only provided nursing for 140 people. That's why we question that there would be a huge influx of people that would come into the program under the bill. But the problem is that the program, even if you have one of these diagnoses, you can't get into REM if you happen to be on Medicare already or if you qualified for Medicaid under spend-down. The problem is that these programs, they don't provide any alternative way for you to get the nursing you need. And at least for some of the people, the state is spending a huge amount of money under Medicaid for people in nursing facilities to get care that maybe some of these people and their families would want them to be able to receive at home if they could get the nursing they need.
So very quickly, who would this affect? Would it affect – let's say I have a friend who is trying to get Medicaid. He's has multiple sclerosis. He's may have to go into – is in a place, but he'd rather be at home, have people take care
right.
of him. That doesn't affect people like him, right?
I don't believe – I am not 100% certain if multiple sclerosis – is one of the diagnoses that is on the REM list, not to my knowledge, but it would affect people who have very certain diagnoses, like they're dependent on ventilators, they
gotcha.
May have muscular dystrophy, have HIV/AIDS, but we are, because of the high fiscal analysis of the bill, we are trying to work with the department and the legislators who sponsored it to come up with some ways to amend it to bring down the cost. And one of those ways would be just saying people who are in nursing facilities now, where the state is spending more on them than what they would need to live with their families in the community, let those people qualify for nursing in the community in order to leave the facility and live at home.
So where's the opposition to this? And
well,
why?
The state has raised concerns. And we are in discussion about amendments, but they are saying that they could not do exactly what the bill wants them to do and that they have to draw a line somewhere and that because they don't have the money, they can't do what the bill wants them to do. I think the problem is that they're thinking of it strictly from a fiscal perspective and they're not thinking of this from a civil rights perspective. And under the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Olmstead decision by the United States Supreme Court, by creating a Medicaid program that doesn't allow people with the most severe disabilities to live in the community under these circumstances, we think that this is a form of discrimination and that the state needs to take some steps forward, even if they can't do everything that the bill would want them to do. We need to have amendments to take steps forward to do something that is at least no cost, low cost to help people. Another example is we're one of the most restrictive states in who parents, when parents can either nurses can delegate or parents can supervise and hire unlicensed aides under Medicaid. And we're saying change the law so that parents of adults can train and supervise unlicensed aides who are paid for through Medicaid. And they can already do that when there are minor children involved, but they can't do it for adults.
So the other bill that the Disability Law Center, and I was really intrigued by this, is around mental health issues. Talk a bit about what you're trying to do. Because when I read there are other bills in the State House now that would kind of restrict the rights of mentally ill by increasing the possibility and the circumstances under which somebody could be involuntarily committed to an institution.
Absolutely. So this summer, there was a commission convened by the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene to look at the cracks in our service delivery system for individuals with mental health to see who was falling through. And what they found was about 588 people are high utilizers of our public mental health system. So these are folks who are using emergency rooms and psychiatric hospitals at a very high rate. And the Disability Law Center, we looked at, you know, best practices at previous work sessions that had gone on to think about this population. And we said, you know, we found a really great solution, and that is an ACT team and a sort of community treatment team, which is an intensive community services for folks to engage them, to try and draw them into services and help them with their needs, which might include housing or access to benefits or other things. There's a contingent of folks, like you said, who are really focused on coercive and forced treatment within our mental health system. And unfortunately, there are a number of bills this session that are very much focused on taking away people's civil rights, human rights, and individual rights to say no to treatment or to say no to commitment.
Because a lot of these bills that are being pushed right now are bills that are based around people's economic situation.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily the state of their mental health.
Absolutely. For example, one of the bills is to help people be forcibly committed into hospitals. And instead, the current standard is that someone has to have a psychiatric disability and be a danger to themselves or others. So they have to both have a mental health diagnosis and dangerousness. This bill would change it so that the person could just be in an economic situation where they're not able to meet their needs. So they're homeless or they're not meeting their care needs, which is a lot of folks in our society who don't have a psychiatric disability.
How could that be legal?
Well, we're saying it's not. But the advocates for that bill are saying that the current standard is too strict and they want to be able to go out and get more people into the psychiatric hospitals for treatment. We think it's not only a socioeconomic issue, but also a racial issue, that when we focus on folks who aren't meeting their needs for housing or subsistence, that we're going to end up capturing a large portion of our population that is Black, Hispanic, but specifically Black, African-American, because that's what's happened in other areas of our service delivery system and also in other states where they've focused on trying to pull in those folks. They've pulled in disproportionate numbers of folks who are African-American.
So lead into what your bill is talking about and that is different from this and how it would be different. And I'm very curious very quickly in the few minutes we have left whether
sure.
Is it the state mental health system that is pushing these involuntary commitments, or other groups are pushing?
It's other groups. And in fact, what's fascinating and terrible is that the group that's pushing these forced treatment bills the most is a group called the Treatment Advocacy Center, and they're not a Maryland organization. So this is a national organization that pushes for laws in every state for forced treatment. It's their platform.
Who are these people? Who do they represent?
They're a group of lawyers that are based in Virginia. They're led by E. Fuller Torrey is the big name who kind of advocates for these forced treatment laws. And their platform is that they think forced treatment in every state is the way to go. And so they focused a lot of energy on Maryland this
session.
One
floor over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk about the bill that you have in the state legislation.
Our bill is, again, about community treatment, about voluntary options, and it would – send ACT teams, which are assertive community treatment teams, which is a comprehensive service team, which includes everything from mental health treatment professionals to drug and alcohol professionals to social workers and case managers, would send those into the community to focus on these really high utilizers of our system. And we know it works. It's worked in Baltimore City for a pilot project, and we think that the investment in this type of program for these high utilizers is going to save Maryland taxpayers a lot of money and preserve civil rights and human rights.
So what about people who say, what about the cost of what you're suggesting?
Well, the cost of emergency room visits and stays in psychiatric hospitals is astronomical. So the cost, as well as homeless shelters. Homeless shelters cost $30 a day. Psychiatric hospitals cost $1,000 a day. So to put someone in low-income housing and provide them with wraparound services is much less expensive.
So very quickly, as we do have to take a break here, tell us what is where the state of these bills on? Where is the battle now in the legislature?
A lot of the forced treatment bills are still alive and well, but we're fighting hard to preserve civil rights and human rights. We're hopeful that there will be the outcome might be a task force that will look at all of the treatment options for folks who are high utilizers of the system.
Which would be better in the short term than letting these bills pass.
Absolutely, yes.
And what's the state of the...
And the REM bill, which has had the hearings, and now we are very hopeful that the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene will, in good faith, negotiate and try to come up with a step forward to help some of the people who are really living in very unsafe situations without the nursing they need or in nursing facilities and want to come home.
Well, we will stay on top of this and with you all and get updates regularly between now and then and see what's happening. And all this will be on our website at steinershow.org. We'll connect to the Maryland Disabilities Law Center's website as well, and we will put these bills we were sent on the website so you can see what's going on, and especially affecting your family. You'll know what's happening. I want to thank both Kathy Sorace and Sarah Ryan for joining us here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a very brief break. When we come back, Soul Train. Stay with us.